want to thank my fellow leaders from Australia,
New Zealand, Malaysia, Brunei, Singapore, Vietnam, Chile, and Peru. We just had an excellent meeting, and I'm very pleased to announce that our nine nations have reached the broad outlines of an agreement. There are still plenty of details to work out, but we are confident that we can do so. So we've directed our teams to finalize this agreement in the coming year. It is an ambitious goal, but we are optimistic that we can get it done. The TPP will boost our economies, lowering barriers to trade and investment, increasing exports,
and creating more jobs
for our people, which is my number one priority.
Along with our trade agreements with South Korea, Panama, and Colombia, the TPP will also help achieve my goal of doubling U.S. exports, which support millions of American jobs. Taken together, these eight economies would be America's fifth largest trading partner. We already do more than $200 billion in trade with them every single year, and with nearly 500 million consumers between us, there is so much more
that we can do together.
In a larger sense, the TPP has the potential to be a model, not only for the Asia-Pacific, but for future trade agreements. It addresses a whole range of issues not covered by past agreements, including
market
regulations,
and how we can make them more compatible, creating opportunities for small and medium-sized businesses in the growing global marketplace. It will include high standards to protect workers' rights and the environment. And I want to thank my U.S. Trade Representative, Ambassador Kirk, and all our teams for doing tireless work to achieve the progress that we've made so far. I want to thank all my fellow leaders for their partnership and their commitment to making the TPP a reality, which will be a win for all our countries. So, again, I'm confident that we can get this done. Together we can boost exports, create more goods available for our consumers, create good jobs, and compete and win in the markets of the future. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your outstanding work. Thank you.
Our menu this evening brings you the Trans-Pacific Partnership, brought to you by Wall Street and corporate interests from around the globe. No need to stop by Congress for an okay. We'll fast-track right by them to whet your appetites with slashed public services in signature countries. That mouth-watering appetizer is a foretaste of our special for this evening, deregulated environmental restrictions, topped by unlimited fracking. Our entree ships jobs to low-wage countries. Well done, as always. Followed by the popular lowering of food safety standards. For those who would like to dismantle the buy local movement, we have a full plate of deregulated GMOs. Delicious. And of course, for dessert, increased drug prices. Best of all, for a refined finish, we offer your palate an increase in internet freedom restrictions. All in all, we hope you'll enjoy the Trans-Pacific Partnership without any pesky interference from Congress. Bon appetit.
By listening to this, you should be advised you're violating your listener's license agreements. You could be subject to suspension of your listener's license. You should disconnect now if you've come across this by accident.
The TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, and it began in 2005. It was a very small agreement between a bunch of countries like New Zealand and Brunei and Singapore, and it was really very modest. It just wanted to increase the trade amongst those countries. And then in 2010, the US sort of invited itself and said, well, you've got a rather nice little treaty there. Why don't you let us join in? And since that time, TPP has been growing and growing in importance until now it is trying effectively to define what trade will be like for the next kind of 20 or 30 years. So it's a massively important global treaty that's trying to set the terms for not just trade, but also a lot of other legal aspects of life in the future years. WikiLeaks actually managed to get hold of probably the most important, because most contentious, chapter. It's dealing with what's called IP, so it's things like copyright and patents. And one reason why that's so important is because it has massive effects on the internet. So everyone, like everyone watching this, for example, will be affected by these rules, because it's trying to set the rules for how people use the internet. So I'll just run through some of the kind of things it's doing. I mean, it's very broad. It covers, as I say, patents and copyright. So, for example, for patents, it's nearly all the Americans who are driving this. As you say, it's hard to read, partly because there are some things that the Americans want, there are some things the Australians want, and so it's a kind of mishmash. But basically what I'm going to be talking about is what the Americans want, because they are the ones driving this, and basically everyone else is fighting them. For example, for patents, they want to be able to patent animals. They think that would be a really good idea. Another good idea, they think, is that you can patent surgical methods. So whereas we tend to think of health as being something you just, you know, try and help by letting doctors do what they can, they actually want to patent it. So you get people who will be forbidden from doing operations because it might infringe on someone's patent. So that's another really interesting idea. So that's the patent side is that kind of thing. It's just making the system worse in many ways, trying to make patents even stronger to get more money out of people. But let's concentrate on copyright, because that's really what's going to affect the internet and therefore your viewers mostly. It's got a lot of things like extending the term of copyright. So copyright typically lasts for 70 years after the death of the person who's created something. Interestingly, when copyright was invented in 1710, it was only 14 years. So you can already see that it's extended massively. Some countries, like Mexico, want to now make it 100 years after the death of the creator. So they want to extend copyright. They also want to bring in the idea that even temporary copies are covered by copyright. You say, well, why would I care about that? Well, everything traveling across the internet is actually a copy. Everything on your computer when you download stuff, when you watch this program, is a copy. And they want to bring in copyright for that. So you'd have to get permission just to download anything across the internet or even have it on your computer. So they're trying to broaden the range of copyright. They're also trying to make DRM, the idea of locking down copyright materials, even more stringent, so that you can't actually break the copyright on things like DVDs or anything else, bring in more stringent laws against that. They want to bring in very harsh civil damages. So if you're found to have infringed on copyright, they want to bring in laws that would effectively let you be sued for practically everything. Like they're claiming things like the effective loss of revenue, the lost profits, the damages. They just pile it on, so try to make it as expensive as possible. Worse than that are the criminal damages, just to distinguish between the two. Civil damages are when you get sued for money. Criminal damages are when they send you to prison. Mm-hmm. What they want to do is to extend copyright infringement, so if you make illegal copies, from being just civil to a criminal offence. So if you actually made a copy of something on the right scale, they would then send you to prison. It wouldn't just be a matter of paying a fine.
Thought crime.
Welcome to the Real News Network. I'm Paul Jay in Baltimore. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, a new trade agreement that President Obama and his administration is leading the charge on. Well, critics say this agreement, right now at any rate, is a lot of Asian countries but China, and people are calling it everybody a but China agreement so far at any rate. It also, critics say, is going to increase corporate rights and decrease sovereign rights. So, Kevin, kick us off. TPP is what and matters why?
The Trans-Pacific
partnership has been in 16 rounds of negotiations over 3 years, pretty much in secret, except for the 600 corporate advisors that have been working with the Obama administration to develop the terms. And it's called a trade agreement, but it's really much more than that. If you care about internet privacy, if you care about health care, financial regulation, labor rights, the environment, all these issues will be affected by the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and they'll give corporations more power than governments to control these issues, because profits will be the ultimate goal, much more important than people's necessities or protection of the planet.
Which is a character of most of the free trade agreements, so-called free trade agreements, even NAFTA and some of the other ones that have been done. Dig into parts of the agreement, Margaret, that concern you most.
Right. One of the things that's unique about this agreement is that it has something called a docking agreement. So the intention is that this may be the last trade agreement that is ever agreed to, that it may become the template for the rest of the world trade, and that other countries will then dock onto it. But they have to agree to everything that's already been negotiated. And where there are about 26 chapters, what we know is what has been leaked. Out of those 26 chapters, only about 5 of them have to do with traditional trade. So what we see in this agreement is that it's not really about trade. It's about creating a backdoor for corporations to get some of the changes that they want. So deregulation of the financial industry, longer patent protections for the pharmaceutical industries, internet privacy restrictions. You know, these are the things that these corporations have wanted to get, but they haven't been able to so far, and this is a vehicle for doing that.
The biggest threat to the internet you've probably never heard of.
The TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. TPP is a trade agreement being negotiated between more than 12 countries around the Pacific region. It has more than 26 chapters, and it covers a broad spectrum of issues, from trade of dairy, meat, textiles, and automobiles, to financial regulation, to labor regulations, and more. But one chapter poses a huge threat to the internet, the chapter concerning intellectual property enforcement.
We can't exactly know what's in that chapter because TPP is being negotiated in secret through a series of backroom deals that shut out the public. Trade officials won't release the text of the agreement or even tell us what their policy positions are on any issue.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
One thing we know is that while the public is shut out of the negotiating process, private corporate interests aren't. In particular, big content industries are spending ginormous amounts of money in lobbying to convince policymakers that more aggressive and draconian copyright laws will lead to more innovation, more creativity, and more jobs. But in reality, that just isn't the case.
If adopted, the copyright enforcement measures proposed in the TPP could make the internet intimidating and repressive. Users will be afraid to view, share, and interact with digital content. An early version of the text has been leaked, and you should be worried about what's inside. Internet service providers could be forced to become private copyright enforcers, lest they risk liability for the content posted by their users. While the TPP includes certain protection from liability, experience with similar provisions in the U.S. suggests that ISPs will be encouraged to take down, filter, and block legitimate content, requiring only a private notice from an alleged copyright holder.
The copyright industry is obsessed with restricting users from tinkering with devices and content, out of the fear that people will then use them for copyright infringing purposes. So what they do is install digital rights management software, or DRM, on devices to limit what users can do. Despite growing evidence that DRM does much more harm than good, this prevents consumers from unlocking their phones to change telecom carriers. Artists, like documentary filmmakers, who break encryption on a DVD or sample online streaming videos, could face legal threats, even if the videos they create are legal. People with visual or reading disabilities can be prevented from changing the format of books and movies to make them more accessible. Not only that, DRM, backed by the full force of the law, can be used to stifle competition. For example, a company can block unauthorized software or content from working with their devices just by enabling DRM. Corporations claim that DRM is necessary to fight copyright infringement online and keep consumers safe from viruses. But there's no evidence that DRM does much to combat either of those things. Fans should not be treated like criminals, and companies should not get an automatic veto over user creativity, choice, and innovation. These are only some of the problems with the TPP's copyright enforcement provisions. They would be harmful for everyone, except for companies that use these policies to suppress innovative competitors or to criminalize sharing. Instead of spending their resources to create new products that respect the internet and new technologies, they're lobbying for policies that would hinder and break them. Severe copyright policies restrict our right to share, modify, and experiment with content and technology. Innovation cannot thrive without these freedoms. Internet users need to know what is going on in these secret trade negotiations. Internet users have a right to participate in this powerful international deal that will impact millions of lives for decades to come. Let's show our policymakers that we won't let backroom trade deals determine what we can do with our technology. Let's show them that we, the users, are unified against corporate efforts to restrict our rights. The internet is ours. It's up to us to defend it.
There used to be a time when people could sing openly without being worried about licensing. You know, there used to be a time when you'd be able to read a book or tell a story. Of course, the books are gone. You can still lose your license by telling stories. It's a dangerous business being creative.
I mean, it's interesting. I think one of the things that TPP would do, it would prevent, if Cyprus, for example, was actually one of these countries that agreed, they couldn't have introduced capital controls that would have stopped money leaving,
right.
Hot money leaving Cyprus when they're trying to control their banks.
Under the TPP, money can go into and out of countries without much control by the government. So the corporations, the big banks, will have much more control over the capital controls of a country than the country will. And if a country takes a step to try to regulate the financial industry, or set up a public bank to, you know, to represent public interests, they can be sued.
By individual corporations.
By individual corporations in a trade tribunal, which is a three-person tribunal. Most of the judges will be corporate lawyers on leave from their corporate job, putting on their robe and being a judge, deciding in favor of the corporation, no doubt, and then going back to their corporate job. And what they're suing for is the potential lost damages. Not actual damages, but we planned on making money here. Here's how we were going to do it. We're going to lose $10 million because of you. The country then has to pay $10 million in damages for a labor agreement, a finance agreement, a consumer protection, environmental protection, whatever it is the country wants to do. It can be stopped by a corporation suing in a trade tribunal.
Corporations can sue governments when they fear that their profits are being curtailed by state laws to protect health, safety, labor, the environment, or other so-called obstacles to trade. And NAFTA, CAFTA, and the World Trade Organization, the WTO, have by now created the multi-year records of the effects of these ever-expanding corporate rights, leading up to the current efforts of pushing through the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
What kind of people would control this world has been equally obvious. The new aristocracy was made up for the most part of bureaucrats, scientists, technicians, trade union organizers, publicity experts, sociologists, teachers, journalists, and professional politicians. These people, whose origins lay in the salaried middle class and the upper grades of the working class, had been shaped and brought together by the barren world of monopoly industry and centralized government. As compared with their opposite numbers in past ages, they were less avaricious, less tempted by luxury, hungrier for pure power, and above all, more conscious of what they were doing and more intent on crushing opposition. This last difference was cardinal. By comparison with that existing today, all the tyrannies of the past were half-hearted and inefficient. The ruling groups were always infected to some extent by liberal ideas and were content to leave loose ends everywhere, to regard only the overt act, and to be uninterested in what their subjects were thinking. In the past, no government had the power to keep its citizens under constant surveillance. The invention of print, however, made it easier to manipulate public opinion, and the film and the radio carried the process further. With the development of television and the technical advance which made it possible to receive and transmit simultaneously on the same instrument, private life came to an end. The possibility of enforcing not only complete obedience, but complete uniformity of opinion on all subjects now existed for the first time.
you'll be violating your creativity permits, which are issued and actually have to be requisitioned for. So if they don't like what you're going to be creating, then it won't be created. All art here is sanctioned. As a matter of fact, artists here are considered the most dangerous of criminals, right next to, of course, people such as myself, the librarians, who have absolutely no regard whatsoever for copyright law.
And in all those free trade treaties, corporations are seeking is the right of the investor to sue the state and say, you've stolen $1 trillion from us. They decide they can make money in so-and-so way, and if they're not allowed to make that money because of ethics, democracy, ecology, etc., then they consider it stealing. So there's actually a case of a company, a Californian company called Sunbelt. And because of NAFTA, Sunbelt thought, well, we can bring the water now. Go to Canada, they've got so much water, and we'll import the water to California. And the British Columbia legislature discussed the issue, and they voted and said, no, our water is not for sale. It's not a commodity. And Sunbelt sued the British Columbia government, said we could have made so much money if we had brought this water to California. You've prevented us from making that much money. Now you have to pay us.
Sunbelt Corporation in 1999 was not successful in suing the Canadian government for lost income. However, other investor state suits under trade agreements such as NAFTA or CAFTA have been decided in favor of corporations. The following examples are from a list published by Public Citizen in August 2013. Metalclad, a U.S. waste management corporation, won a $16.2 million settlement against Mexico. A Mexican municipality decided not to grant a construction permit for a toxic waste facility unless Metalclad cleaned up existing toxic waste problems. Ethyl, a U.S. chemical company, won $13 million from Canada over the Canadian ban on MMT, a toxic gasoline additive. Between 2003 and 2004, the U.S. corporations Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland, and Corn Products International all successfully sued the Mexican government for a combined $186 million. That was over Mexican tax levied on beverages sweetened with high fructose corn syrup. They successfully argued that it was unfair that drinks sweetened with natural cane sugar did not have to pay that tax. And one more of a list of 13 from Public Citizen. TCW Group, a U.S. investment management corporation, jointly owns with the government one of the Dominican Republic's three electricity distribution firms. TCW sued the government for violating CAFTA by refusing to raise electricity rates and failing to prevent electricity theft by poor residents. That cost the Dominican Republic $26.5 million in 2007. By 2013, investors collected a total of $405 million in taxpayer money as compensation for lost profits.
To know this, the Obama administration is preparing to sell America out to a handful of private corporations. Well, more than a handful, but anyhow, that's because right now President Obama is preparing to push through the largest trade deal in human history, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or as it's more commonly known, the TPP. If approved, the TPP would create a whole new set of rules regulating the economies of 12 countries, the red countries seen here, on four different continents bordering the Pacific Ocean. These rules cover everything from pharmaceuticals to digital copyright law and could permanently change the way everyday Americans and people all over the world interact with the global economy. So if you think the Obama administration, you would think, as a result of this, that the Obama administration would want to keep the public as up to date as possible on such a big trade deal, right? Wrong. The United States has negotiated the TPP almost entirely in secret with the help of about 600 private corporations. Most of what we know about it actually comes from leaked documents. And those documents paint a pretty scary picture.
His time pretty much the same as now, but they were workers and they spent most of their time working. When they were finished their day, they were tired and they didn't have the time or the inclination to figure out how does the world work and to make the planning and so on. The aristocracy was awarded money just because they were the owners of property, and they were kind of lazy. They just, income had been coming to them for generations, and so they weren't really inclined to figure out all the intricacies of how to manage a society. But the people who ran in businesses and were developing industries were applying their acuity to figuring out, well, how do we take materials and labor and tools and getting all these parts together in order to make money and make all these things that people want that they'll pay us for, so we can, they had a lot of inclination to do that. And then he says, any law or regulation that comes from this order ought always to be listened to with great precaution, and ought never to be adopted until after having been long and carefully examined, not only with the most scrupulous, but with the most suspicious attention. It comes from an order of men whose interest is never exactly at the same with that of the public, and who accordingly have upon many occasions both deceived and oppressed it. So he wasn't sort of promoting this. He was saying, watch out, this is how it's happening, but these guys are not really serving the human good. So, Adam Smith is held responsible for identifying the invisible hand and giving the deity needed by the capitalist system to be a true religion, or a small r religion. It doesn't have compassion, and that sort of sets it aside from all the other religions.
Better. from no reporter. Now you can't get the truth. You can't get it from no reporter. Well, the time is getting shorter. Better for the new world order. Mama, you've got to save your son's daughter. Save your sons and daughters. We're living on the border. There's a new world order.
What certified instructors have taught you. Bad skills are like viruses and can spread through unregulated teaching. They cause confusion by destroying the standard and could lead to misplaced confidence in ungrounded practice. Remember, unlicensed knowledge is pornography. Certification is security.
The free market for me
means the flea market for you.
Show me a free market.
I'll show you
a flea market. Now, what is a flea market?
A flea market is what you get
working for the free market. A free market means
in small towns across America,
Walmart, that's what's left,
that's what you get.
Working for the free market. A free market means
dining out,
McDonald's,
Burger King,
Pizza Hut,
Taco Bell,
that's what's left,
that's what you can afford.
Working for the free market. A free market means,
let's turn on the radio.
Click, the same music.
Click, the same DJ.
Click, the same talk show.
Click. That's what's left.
That's what you get.
Working for the free market. Let's watch TV.
Click. Nothing.
Click. Nothing.
Click. Nothing being said.
Click. Nothing being shown.
Click. Nothing.
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 Working for the free market. You see,
the free market for me
means the flea market for you.
We think you got the point. In fact, we think you got the shaft. Click.
Now, thanks to WikiLeaks, we have an even better idea of just how dangerous the TPP really is. Earlier today, WikiLeaks released a full draft of the treaty's intellectual property rights chapter. The 95-page document proves what many people have long suspected, that the TPP isn't so much a free trade deal as it is a giant giveaway to monster transnational corporations. According to WikiLeaks, the TPP would allow private foreign corporations to sue countries over regulations that those corporations don't like. It would allow them to expand the monopoly powers of pharmaceutical patents. And it would also give corporations the go-ahead to start blocking websites accused of violating copyright law. The documents also show that the Obama administration, on behalf of the United States, has been pushing for some of the TPP's harshest intellectual property laws. To put it bluntly, the TPP would sacrifice national sovereignty, public health, and internet freedom, all in the name of helping private corporations keep their CEOs' wallets fat and their shareholders happy. That's why the TPP is so much more dangerous than normal trade deals like NAFTA or CAFTA. Not only does it reward companies that send jobs overseas and gut regulations that keep big businesses in check, it also increases corporate control over pretty much every part of how you and I interact with the world and makes it near impossible for countries to fight back against giant corporations. As Julian Assange said about the leaked documents, if instituted, the TPP's intellectual property regime would trample over individual rights and free expression, as well as ride roughshod over the intellectual and creative commons. If you read, write, publish, think, listen, dance, sing, or invent, if you farm or consume food, if you're ill now or one day might be ill, the TPP has you in its crosshairs. In other words, it puts the rights of profit-driven businesses over the rights of human beings and the governments that we form to protect ourselves.
At that time, the listener's license had huge power, not the power it has today. I mean, now, you don't have a valid listener's license. I mean, in our time, you can't do anything. I mean, you're a pirate. You can't possess part of your paperwork. Or your identification. See, the listener's license, after they came out with that, that was a huge step one. But everyone was so focused on the listener's license, they didn't see where the real power play was made. See, everyone was so whipped up in the media again, you know, corporately controlled media. Got everyone focusing on the benefits or the drawbacks, a big debate over the listener's license. But what they didn't see was the regulations that went into play on recording equipment. See, that was the real. I was the one that really came back. They started putting in these standards on microphones, any kind of recording media. If you wanted to record, well, gotta adhere to this standard. This is the future. We gotta make sure the quality's there. Chips were put into place. All recording media became regulated. No listener's license? Well, at the very least, you can't buy recorded media. You can't make your own music if you don't have a listener's license. And this grew to where it is at today, where there's no more cameras. And microphones are gone. All the kit I'm using here, this would get me recycled for sure. So just by listening, unfortunately, you're breaking the law. But if you're still listening, then you probably have it in your head that listening to people talk probably isn't bad, despite what the prompters say. Speech should be free. People should be able to talk.
Free trade agreements are evil. They are set up to incorporate life. The corporations that push them are greedy. They'd profit from your suffering, pain, and strife. The FTAA is nothing more than torture. It's only benefiting northern hands. Argentina and Bolivia are clear pictures of the truth behind these dirty corporate plans. Oh, you've got to free the people before you free the trade and throw out your helping hand lend. If you care about the people and you care about the trade, you'd stop these bastards before they kill again. The World Bank is a pointless institution. Its goal is nothing short of world control. They murder, lie, and desecrate small countries. They kill whole villages for gold, oil, and coal. The World Bank does not care about freedom. They support corrupt regimes in every land. They are privatizing third world food and water and killing off those who would dare take a stand. Oh, you've got to free the people before you free the trade and throw out your helping hand to lend. If you care about the people and you care about the trade, you'd stop these bastards before they kill again. The IMF is loaning sums of money to governments they know are full of crooks. Their SAPs are economic sabotage. They'd rather open markets than open books. They pull funding from health and education and insist on spending more on debt relief. It's been going on for years now unhindered, and it won't stop until we block off every street. Oh, you've got to free the people before you free the trade and throw out your helping hand to lend. If you care about the people and you care about the trade, you'd stop these bastards before they kill again. Then there is the World Trade Organization, a terrorist group that's full of selfish hate. They imperialize and murder foreign leaders. They support sweatshops, despots, fascism, and rape. Along with the IMF and World Bank, they seek to make the world the USA. And even Hitler would be jealous of their policies. I'll be damned if we don't make these people pay. Oh, you've got to free the people before you free the trade and throw out your helping hand to lend. If you care about the people and you care about the trade, you'd stop these bastards before they kill again. The world is being killed off pretty quickly. The murderers are sitting in D.C. They're presidents and CEOs and bankers. They don't give a damn about you or me. They'll strangle this planet with a smile, and the news will listen up to their advice. Free trade is just another name for genocide. If we don't rise up, we'll forever pay the price. Oh, you've got to free the people before you free the trade and throw out your helping hand to lend. If you care about the people and you care about the trade, you'd stop these bastards before they kill again.
Do you think today's WikiLeaks revelations are going to help, hurt? What effect are they going to have on all this?
They are extremely important because what the American public sees now, and this is going to take the same shape that we saw with Syria, with Larry Summers, with the pipeline, XL pipeline. You're going to see so much anger about this once people understand what has been happening to them behind closed doors. It's so secretive, as a matter of fact, that even the people working on it had to sign a classified information non-disclosure agreement, and that's how he's kept it secret. But real problematic is, why would a president that runs on the idea of being the people's candidate want to keep this so quiet when it puts so many people out of jobs and is such a huge threat to every facet of the American public? Why would he want to keep that secret? That's the big question.
I love my country, but I fear her corporations.
All that you gave me was a pain in my side. I'd like to fight you, but where would I hide? I'm so sick of cleaning your mess. I hope someday that you just confess.
Oh, mighty 1%. Class warfare, you cry, when clearly it is you that has been waging class war by laying siege on our houses with your army of banks and turned us into refugees. If you did not want us to take to the streets, you should not have foreclosed on our houses. Class warfare, you cry. It is you, oh mighty 1%, that has invaded our pensions, carpet-bombed our job market, incarcerated our poor, making us prisoners of war and your class war. While it was Wall Street that wrecked our economy, yet no one was convicted. Hell, I'd get convicted if I so much as wrecked my car. I will believe in corporate citizenship when I see a corporation get treated the way they treat me. If these corporations want the same rights as citizens, they should have the same accountability as citizens. I know if I perpetrated the crimes these corporations committed, I would be in prison. So I say, let's put the corporations themselves in prison. Some say tax the rich, I say jail the rich. So why are we on the street? How about 15 million people who are upside down on their mortgages get record profits from the bank after the very same people who are upside down on their mortgages bailed the banks out? Our so-called elected leaders have been reduced to the role of doddering greeter at the great Walmart of China. I say, tear down that Wall Street, Mr. Bernanke.
You read the news and you
thou shalt believe with your whole heart, and a competitive world is natural. The law of defense tells you so. The law of defense tells you so. Thou shalt, as a worldwide corporate population, compete with nature as if it were a malevolent force which must be dominated. Thou shalt wage war and kill if necessary in order to protect thine financial interests, which is profit. Thou shalt not recognize the basic collaborative nature of humanity.
There's a farmer in a distant country working on the land. A hat upon his head and a shovel in his hand. Till the soil, plant the seed, wait a while, cut the leaf, and send another cup of tea to me. I'm a spoiled child of the great imperialist state. I cannot kill my meat nor grow the food upon my plate. I never walked a mile to the well. When the tap runs dry, do tell what will become of you and me. What will become of us? Who will give us trust? Will you believe me when I say I never loved? Profiting from your pain that I felt shame. Woke up this morning, the revolution knocking down my door. Those capitalist pigs, no, they don't live here anymore. Slipped out the back door into my car. How far can you drive? How far? There's a farmer in a distant country working on the land. Food turned into flowers for the uptown florist stand. But you saved another page to turn his soil into sand. The world will not deliver on demand. What will become of us? Who will give us trust? Will you believe me when I say I never loved? Profiting from your pain that I felt shame when I looked the other way.
While we watch the screen, the directors prime the scene, and it's a very interesting scene. And we think the plot is so complex, not really up to us to figure out. But actually, it's just all the background noise getting in the way of some very simple things. Slaves, profits, cunning as foxes in a hen house. Sweet deal. There's a ruse going on. It's part of what makes the plot so exciting, fascinating, creepy. And the ruse is not so elaborate. It's simple. Flash a light in their faces while you round them up for labor. Keep them distracted while you steal the land out from underneath them. Justify the acquisition in a foreign dialect. Take by stealth and not by siege. Capture the people intact and have them do your work.
He says any law or regulation that comes from this order ought always to be listened to with great precaution and ought never to be adopted until after having been long and carefully examined, not only with the most scrupulous but with the most suspicious attention. It comes from an order of men whose interest is never exactly at the same with that of the public and who accordingly have upon many occasions both deceived and oppressed it.